This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the websites Fodors.com and TheInstrumentPlace.com. Question number one, which of the following is the largest musical instrument in the world? Is it A, the great stalactite organ? Is it B, the big Carl tuba? Is it C, the symphonic house? Or is it D, the Boardwalk Hall auditorium organ? So which one holds the title of the largest musical instrument in the world? And question number two, which one of the following musicians is not known as a clarinetist? Was that A, Woody Herman, B, Lawrence Welk, C, Artie Shaw, or D, Benny Goodman? Not a clarinetist? Which one of those musicians was that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August 25th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1889 that Charles G. Conn received a patent for the metal clarinet. Many metal clarinets were made of nickel silver, brass, or were silver-plated. A small percentage of them were made of sterling silver. Solid silver clarinets are said to have a more sonorous or vocal quality to them, making them most ideal for indoor concert settings. Conn's patent, 1889, today. And it was on this day back in 1967 that Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze was released as the opening track on the U.S. release of his album, Are You Experienced? That's 56 years of a purple haze from 1967 to today. Finally, in transitions, we have this from Billboard.com, written by Lars Brandl on the 21st of August, 2023. Ray Hildebrand, the Paul in 1960s pop duo Paul and Paula, died Friday, August the 18th, in Kansas City, Missouri, at the age of 82. Hildebrand passed away peacefully and was surrounded by his family. Born December 21, 1940, in Joshua, Texas, Hildebrand met his singing partner, Jill Jackson, Paula, while attending Howard Payne College, now called Howard Payne University, in Brownwood, the Lone Star State. Though never romantically involved, Paul and Paula landed a string of songs on Billboard's charts, including Young Lovers, First Quarrel, and Something Old, Something New, and their best-known hit, the multi-million seller from 1963, Hey Paula, which Hildebrand penned. The single logged 3 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Put on my tight dress, hair teased on my head. I painted my lips red and my eyes like Adele. I step in my high shoes, cheeks flushed and rose rouge. I'm looking too cool, but you never can tell when I look.
Dolly Parton's Head Over High Heels introduces our country music news. It's titled Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr Team Up with Dolly Parton on Let It Be. This is published in The Guardian on the 19th of August, 2023, by Hayden Vernon. Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr have reunited to team up with Dolly Parton for her cover of Let It Be. The country music star's piano-led version of the 1970 singles features the two surviving Beatles, as well as Peter Frampton and Fleetwood Mac's Mick Fleetwood. Well, does it get any better than singing Let It Be with Paul McCartney, who wrote that song? Not only that, he played the piano, Parton said. Well, if that didn't get any better, how about when Ringo Starr joined in on drums, Peter Hampton on guitar, and Mick Fleetwood playing percussion? I mean, seriously, how much better does it get? The cover of Let It Be is the latest single from Parton's forthcoming album, Rockstar. Parton was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, despite her initial protest that she had not earned the right, as she did not make rock music. At the time, she vowed to put out a rock and roll album in the future. In May this year, she announced that Rockstar would be that album. The album, Parton's 49th, will feature 21 covers of classic songs, along with 9 of her own originals, and will include more than 40 guest artists across its 30 tracks. The album, which comes out on the 17th of November, features collaborations with Miley Cyrus, Sheryl Crow, Lizzo, Elton John, Chris Stapleton, Stevie Nicks, and Sting, as well as the former Beatles.
See, I almost felt a teardrop. When was the last time you heard a real anthem? Nas, the millionaire, the mansion. When was the last time you heard your boy Nas rhyme? Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This who taught me golden waves. Made me.
Truly, this is what made me.
Break me.
Not a thing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This who taught me golden waves.
Chrisette Michele performing with Nas on Can't Forget About You introduces our R&B music news. It's titled Loud and Proud. Female rappers are taking over Rolling Loud, and we're here for it. This is written by Brett Callwood, March 2nd, 2023, LA Weekly. Well, it's often the case that female musicians and bands don't necessarily want to be referred to as female musicians and bands because they're not defined by their gender. It's also the case that this is a golden period for female rappers. For a few years now, the most exciting new artists bursting onto the hip-hop scene have generally been female. Not exclusively, but more often than not. From Doja Cat to Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi to Nicki, Lizzo to Dream Doll, the sharpest, most uncompromising, and in-your-face fresh rap talent is female. The fact is solidly reflected in the Rolling Loud lineup this year. Sure, the headliners are all male, but the bill is positively brimming with amazing female talent. Many say that this is a golden period for female hip-hop, but they also think changing attitudes mean that female rappers are finally getting the credit that they've always deserved. Things are changing every day in society, but now, in the rap game, the door is open. First, we had Nicki Minaj, who opened the door. Now we have so many other rap artists. It's too bad, because even now, with all these new artists, Queen Latifah, MC Light, Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, Missy Elliott, who were our icons and who we looked up to, Some of the reasons why we started rapping, they paved the way. Now we're looking back and it's like, thank you. Rolling Loud Festival is an annual hip-hop music festival that began in 2015. The festival was held a couple of weeks ago in Miami, Florida, and featured, as usual, some of the biggest hip-hop names. Attendance was estimated at 80,000. They went hard in a male-dominated industry. Now we're standing on our own. We're able to shine on our own and express ourselves in many ways. And I think that's cool because it's getting back to the creativity of music, which really is what it should have always been about.
Break me, nothing's gonna break me.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Pink Floyd, another brick in the wall, introduces our music research and technology. It's an article titled, Scientists Recreated a Pink Floyd Song from Listeners' Brainwaves. Electrodes collected brain signals while people listened to Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1. Then computers produced a garbled but recognizable track. This is written by Will Sullivan, Smithsonian Magazine, August the 17th, 2023. A computer model has reconstructed a snippet of a Pink Floyd song by reading the brain activity of people listening to the tune. In a new study published Tuesday in the journal PLOS Biology, participants with electrodes on their brains listened to Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1. From the rock band's 1979 album, The Wall, researchers then used the computer model to convert the electrode signals into audio. The recreated bars sounded garbled and hazy, a distorted echo of the original track, but unmistakable elements of the song's rhythm, melody, and harmony shine through. It's a technical tour de force. Robert Zatori, a neuroscientist at McGill University in Canada, who did not contribute to the finding, says of the research. These exciting findings build on previous work to reconstruct plain speech from brain activity. Shailee Jain, a neuroscientist at the University of California, San Francisco, who was not involved in the research, tells Scientific American, "Now we're able to really dig into the brain to unearth the sustenance of sound." Researchers have been working at decoding brain activity with artificial intelligence for years. They've tried reading brain scans to determine which words people are listening to, and they've even attempted to translate entire stories. Another study aimed to reproduce images that participants looked at. Such technology could one day be used to help people who are unable to communicate with spoken words. Ludovic Bellier, a neuroscientist at the University of California, Berkeley, and co-author of the new study, tells Science's Fee Jacobs that he hopes the findings could eventually help people who have trouble speaking due to strokes, injuries, or diseases by making sense out of their brain activity. For the new study, researchers played the Pink Floyd song to 29 participants with epilepsy. As treatment for their epilepsy, the participants already had electrodes implanted in their brains, per the Times. The song played in the operating room while the patients underwent surgery meant to prevent seizures.
Mm-hmm.
The researchers trained a computer model on the brain data from participants as they listened to about 90% of the Pink Floyd song. But the remaining 10%, a 15-second clip from the middle of the track, was left out of the training data. Instead, the team asked the algorithm to recreate the section of the music from the brain activity based on patterns it had learned. The team trained 128 models, each operating at a different frequency, and together they matched specific electrode signals to certain characteristics of the music. Beyond creating a haunting piece of music, the study also provided insights into which specific parts of the brain are involved in music perception. It found that both hemispheres play a role, but the right hemisphere is engaged more than the left, which supported findings from other work, according to the study. The superior temporal gyrus, located in the temporal lobe, seems to be heavily involved in musical perception, with a particular subregion connected to rhythm. Previous research has connected different parts of the brain to perceiving specific aspects of music, including pitch, rhythm, and the texture of the sound, called timbre, according to the study. In the future, the researchers hope their insights could help devices translating brain signals into words to incorporate the more musical elements of speech. Language, like music, includes changes in pace, pitch, and volume that are a vital part of communicating, per the Scientific American. These elements, which we call prosody, carry meaning that we can't communicate with words alone, Bellier says the publication. The researchers chose the Pink Floyd song for this study in part because it contains a mix of sung words and instrumental sections, according to the Times. But they had another reason, too. The participants just love Pink Floyd. The Kruger Brothers introduce our local music news. Announcing the annual International Bluegrass Music Association Bluegrass Live Festival, coming up next month, September 29 through 30, downtown Raleigh. Featuring, among others, the Del McCoury Band, Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway. The Kruger Brothers, playing in the background now, play Doc Watson, with special guest Jerry Douglas. Reserve seats at Raleigh's Red Hat Amphitheater on sale now. General admission is free. So go to worldofbluegrass, that's one word, .org for more details and ticket information. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is the largest musical instrument in the world? Is it A, the great stalagmite organ? Or is it B, the big Carl tuba? Or is it C, the symphonic house? Or is it D, the Boardwalk Hall auditorium organ? The correct answer is answer A, the great stalactite organ. is an electrically actuated lithophone located in Luray Caverns, Virginia, USA. Covering 3.5 acres of the cavern, it is considered the world's largest instrument by Guinness World Records. As noted in a 12/21/20 issue of the travel guide Fodor's, Fodor's.com, meet Big Carl, the world's largest tuba. This tuba lives in a music store in New York where it has been since the year 1900. Big Carl weighs more than 100 pounds and stands about 8 feet tall. Your regular run-of-the-mill tuba clocks in at only 42 inches tall and weighs just 35 pounds. And how about the biggest violin on the planet Earth? Well, that is 14 feet tall and takes 3 people to play, but it is playable. 2 violinists work the bow, and another violinist is up there at the top pressing the strings. This violin weighs about 290 pounds and plays a tune much lower than a regular normal-sized violin, about 3 octaves lower to be exact. It was a Guinness Book of Records winner in 2012 and was made by 15 German violin makers. And then there's the Symphonic House. This musical instrument was created by 2 architects, and it is both a house and a working musical instrument. How, you ask? Well, it is a container of vibrations, pretty much. It contains 2 huge harps that are transferred through tubes to the living room, which acts as the acoustic chamber, and this causes the music to be heard throughout the house. Then there's the Boardwalk Hall Auditorium Organ. This humongous organ is located in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and boasts the important title of, quote-unquote, largest pipe organ ever built, based on the number of pipes in it, that is. Technically, there is a larger organ, per se, in size, but this guy. The organ has 7 keyboards, over 1,200 stops, and, drumroll, 33,000 pipes. Then there's the great Stalag pipe organ, which actually is the world's largest musical instrument. This one can be found in the Luray Caverns in Virginia. That's right. The world's largest musical instrument is located inside of a cave deep underground. It was created by Leland W. Sprinkle, a mathematician and scientist at the Pentagon in 1954. Other large instruments mentioned in this article include the earth harp, which reigns as the longest stringed instrument in the world. Those strings run about 1,000 feet in length and are played by musicians wearing cotton gloves with violin resin on them. They glide their hands down those bows and sweet, huge harp music blasts right out. It is said to sound like a cello. Then there's the octobass. Despite sounding like it might be half octopus, half musical instrument, the octobass is generally the largest string instrument for an orchestra, although only one known composition specifically requires it. At 12 feet, it's usually played by 2 people. The octobass was created in 1850. The biggest drum in the world, well, that award goes to a South Korean-made drum that's over 18 feet in diameter. It won the Guinness Book of World Records title after being completed in 2011. It is a traditional Korean drum and stands over 19 feet tall. And the answer to our second question, which one of the following musicians is not known to be a clarinetist, was that A. Woody Herman, B. Lawrence Welk, C. Artie Shaw, or D. Benny Goodman? Correct answer, answer B. Lawrence Welk, was not known as a clarinetist. As noted in the Britannica Encyclopedia, Lawrence Welk was an American bandleader and accordion player whose effervescent brand of champagne music was featured for more than 30 years on his successful show, one of the longest-running programs on television, 1955 to 71. Welk, who was raised in a German-speaking hamlet in North Dakota, did not learn English until he was 21, developing an accent that would later contribute to his homespun appeal. The Lawrence Welk Show, a program of big band music with vocalists like the Lennon Sisters, dancers, and featured instrumental soloists, helped him make one of the wealthiest performers in show business. Welk titled his two autobiographies after his trademark phrases, Wonderful, Wonderful, 1971, and A One, A Two, 1974. Finally, an article in TheInstrumentPlace.com notes that once the clarinet became known in composer circles, adoption of the instrument was swift. Vivaldi and Handel wrote some of the first music to utilize the clarinet, and Mozart wrote a range of challenging pieces for it as well. J.C. Bach was the first to introduce the clarinet in London, and Wagner was the first to use more than two clarinets in an orchestra. Haydn, Schumann, and Brahms were also notable composers for the clarinet. So let's end today's program with Begin the Begin, which catapulted clarinetist Artie Shaw to international fame back in 1938. So from 1938, here's Begin the Begin, which, by the way, a begin is a type of dance that was popular back in the 30s and 40s. For today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.